And
Yes, I don't want to laugh at you, but
no, please do. I need.
that is kind of whatever.
Is the best medicine, they say,
Yeah,
right?
yes. And we're on.
Yeah, how long
Hi,
has it been?
everybody. It's been way too long. I think February, we didn't do anything in March. Hi, Anita. I
Yeah.
think March got away from us. I had 3 weeks where I was off and went to shows, and it snowed tons while we were at all the shows. We went in on one, came out with almost a foot of snow. That was fun.
There you go. That's something.
Yeah, that was when we got 24 inches here.
God damn.
Yeah, he plowed the driveway before we left, and we took the truck because obviously my Prius would not have gotten anywhere. And went to see, that was Recycled Percussion. That was a good show.
Recycled percussion. What do they do with that one?
They're drummers. They were on America's Got Talent at one time, and
Okay.
they're like dueling drummers, and they have their big thing is they've got ladders, and they drum up the ladder and drum down the ladder. It's
Oh,
really
cool.
kind of cool.
Yeah,
They're
okay.
a New Hampshire based band, and yeah. So I was like, let's go see them, and Jim's like, okay. and then we went to see, what was the other one? It was the British Invasion. I forget the last word, but British Invasion one. And they do all 60s and 70s music. And at first they're dressed up like the Beatles all and stuff, and then they come in later in the 60s outfits after their thing.
Oh,
So
cool.
that was fun. But yeah, we have a little theater downtown, so we
Oh, good. I'm
figured.
glad you had fun. I need to live vicariously through
Yes.
you.
And then of course weekend for St. Patrick's Day, we were at my friend's in Maine. That's why we weren't on. Yeah, see, my brain's not really working.
It's okay. Keep posting your pictures to Facebook. I need to live vicariously through people who are actually living. What did I do in March? I don't know. I existed, I guess.
Yeah, I had to think about that for a minute. But the campground also sent out really good news. You know how we have to put up and take down the room outside of the camper every year?
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh,
Not
good.
after this year. The person who did it for the last God knows how long is retiring. So I think they went to the town and said, can we leave them up?
Okay.
And they got permission. We're all like, yes.
Oh, yay.
We still have to bring all the shit inside, but we don't have to take down
Hey, that's
the
easier. I'll take
Yeah,
any win I can get at this point. So vicariously,
exactly.
you're good.
So that makes it eons easier. And
Here's a Rebecca.
yay! And I had an April 1st release. My the Elbrin Assassin came out on April 1st.
Congratulations.
Moved up because it was supposed to be July, and the person who had April wasn't able to do it. And I'm like, I'm already.
Hey.
Can I go? It's not April Fool's.
I'm gonna need more
You,
drinks
I
soon.
was gonna say, you need more.
I'm gonna need more drinks soon. If I step away, you know what happened.
Yes. Well, either the drink or
Yeah,
bathroom.
this was full when we went to pre-show, and now it's almost empty.
Yeah.
We're gonna need that tonight. You don't want to see me unmedicated.
Yes. And I don't know what to do with myself because I'm finally not stalking in Ingram Sparks, publishing page because everything finally published. 85 books. Fucking
Okay, let's break
85
that down for
books.
those who don't know what we're talking about here, because I don't think we talked about it before we went on break.
No, well, before we went on break,
Oh,
we
I think
talked
Rebecca
about,
likes your laugh.
yes. I moved, well, I opened the ebook store through Story Origin, And then I found out Ingram's Mark has the option to have direct sales too through them. I think they rolled this out. It had to have been recently. Yep, get that last drop.
I'm listening.
I know. And so I took down all of my books from Amazon, from Barnes and Noble, all the physical books. And I did all of the hardcovers in 6x9s because they allow more pages. Yep. Than Amazon does, and it's a prettier book.
Ingram does good printing. Now, I do have to say they go light on the internal font. I've noticed that in the difference between the way Amazon prints and Ingram prints. So you have to have a bit weightier font, but if you already start with a weightier font to begin with, it doesn't matter.
Right. Right. Yeah. So not only did I, well, I had gone through to edit and clean up all of my ebooks. Now I had to format all of my paperbacks and hardcovers for Ingram Spark. Now, for those of you that don't know this, the Amazon cover for a 6x9 does not translate 100% to the Ingram Spark cover for a 6x9. So it's a fun game of, okay, the spine's a little off. So it's a fun game of making
a template, though. You can still download a template.
Yes, you download a template and then you play with it. Which, thankfully, I'm getting much better in GIMP than I had been before. So I was able to do a lot of that myself, but there were some that I had to go back out to my cover artist for things like the Steve Williams series. It was just, even in a 6x9, it was too big. So that's I split it in two. Yep. she has 100? Yeah.
I'm confused by that, Rebecca. Please explain.
I used to do that with literally every book I published. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Anita said it was recently. So now,
yeah, the Ingram Spark rollout of direct sales is recent. And I think that's a smart business move on their part with the direct sales options that are coming out.
Although you don't get the contact list.
No.
Yes, I know. I'm trying to read that. I'm trying not to laugh at Rebecca. Yeah. And
start up a new publishing house, Rebecca. Come on, you can do it. I'm just going to advocate for all the bad ideas right now. Sorry. Yeah. I will be leaving to go remedicate soon because now I'm empty. And this is Drinks with Authors this weekend, just so you know.
Yes. Yes. I'm drinking water because I'm, you know, fighting it.
Chicken.
Fighting a migraine. I've been fighting a migraine. If I drink alcohol, I'll be vomiting out my kidney. Nobody
I will drink
that
for you because okay, I've been just a mess of a human being all day. So
yeah. There and so now on my website I have
me and I'll do it, Rebecca. Pay me and I'll do it. I need a steady job.
Yep. So let's
sorry, see. We interrupted you.
No, that's okay. On my website I now have a page for hardcovers and a page for paperbacks.
I saw that. I was peeking your website the other day because I saw that you've been doing the Ingram thing and I wanted to see how you're doing it. I think it's awesome that Ingram has offered this because this pairs perfectly with the ebook option through Story Origin and Lemon Squeezy.
Yeah.
You have the perfect blend now of direct sales and ebook sales that are more in your control, which we've talked before is infinitely better for the independent publisher because not only can we give you a better price, but we can also get something decent out of it.
Right. Yeah. You know, so this I think on is like 34
your name, Rebecca.
Is like $34.99 on retail now.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it. I think this one's $29.99 on my site. So
and you're making a decent royalty off of it. Yeah. So it's
worth it. Yep. So I mean, I can drop the price on my direct sales. So and in some cases, it's $10 or It's somewhere between $2 and $10.
Which is so much better for the reader, too.
Yep. Yep.
They're getting a decent priced book from an independent publisher, and the independent publisher is actually getting paid for their work.
Sorry, right.
I didn't harp on that, but you know that's been my sticking point forever.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, it made it easier for me to do that. Plus, with Ingram Spark, I'm not tied to Amazon.
Yep.
My books are on Amazon, but I'm not tied. So bookstores around the world are actually, I think they're purchasing my books because I'm getting sales.
And you're in the Ingram distribution network, which means you're available to so much more.
Yeah.
Even though Amazon claims their wide distribution is wide.
Yeah.
Ingram is basically the backbone of publishing because
And
Ingram Spark is only the independent side.
Yep. Right. and bookstores won't necessarily stock Amazon books.
Now, here's the question though. Are you getting around the discount rate? Because that's what always throws us, is that 55% discount is ridiculous. Now, I know the minimum is 40% in the US.
Yep.
Are you able to get around that and still work within giving the good price and getting a decent royalty?
From my books cost more through Ingram Spark on the retail sites.
It's also $150, Rebecca, per ISBN to be added to the brochure, just so you know. I looked it up last night.
Yeah.
I did my homework.
Yep. Yeah, I did not go that route.
$100, $150 per ISBN is a bit steep.
Yes.
If you can't afford it.
Yep. But, yeah, I can't afford it for $85. Are you kidding me? That's not happening.
Hey, buy our books so we can actually afford to advertise them.
Yep. So yeah.
Yeah, as a publisher, if you're publishing multiple books, getting into a major catalog is definitely something to do if you have the capital for it. And that's the you know the beauty of working with a small publisher who is doing that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly.
And yeah, first of a series is always the best way to sell the rest of the series.
Yep, exactly. Sorry,
for those of you who aren't seeing this or listening to the podcast, we're reading comments by Rebecca Jonesy.
Yes, and she's a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, she is. She has run her own publishing company. And I think she should reopen and do another publishing company and hire me on as her editor, formatter, and all kinds of things.
Yes.
I need a job, okay?
You need more than high maintenance freelance jobs.
I need reliable work. I'm about to start a GoFundMe just because I'm freaking broke. Okay, sorry. Back to what you're saying, because you have actually gone through 85 books and done this.
Yes, yes. Yeah. 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 No, it was tiring. Because not only was I formatting, I had to make sure that my new formats and stuff were because I was using the template for Amazon.
Amazon has wide margins. If you follow Amazon's margins, you're perfectly fine for Ingram, except for the book. The cover is off, but the internal is just fine.
Yeah, the internal, I didn't have any issues with internal. I had lots of issues with covers.
And this is coming from 14 years of formatting books.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went from the 7x10s.
Ooh, that's a big book.
Yes. I have those down there too, but you saw the 6x9. That's, you know, a deadly thing.
6x9 for hardbound. I love.
Yes.
5x8 for paperback. Still my favorite spot.
Yep.
I don't like 6x9 for paperback though. Never have. It just feels weird.
Well, that's what most of mine are.
I know. I know.
Except for the smaller ones, I went smaller. So all of the Fractured Fairy Tales, and I went back to all the original covers. So they're all the Cora covers. So
covers though.
Yes, she does. So
there's a reason that she's been in business so long. She does gorgeous covers.
She does. She does. Yeah.
She can afford them.
Yeah. Well, actually, she's not that expensive.
Look,
in the grand scheme of things, you're right.
Yes, she's not that expensive. But when you're poor and you're broke and you have to learn how to do Photoshop yourself, I wish I could afford them.
You're better than my little gimp thing.
Look, I'm working off of a, I want to say it's 10-year-old copy of Photoshop that I got before they went subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working with the old stuff because that was the last time I was willing to buy a copy of Photoshop. So I don't have all the newfangled shit they have now.
Right.
Hello, Gabriella.
Hello.
We are wonderful this evening. How are you doing? I can talk.
But I'm, you know, so I did all that. And now I'm just like, okay, I have this new, you know, store type thing. It's, yeah. And I went on bookshop.org. So that is kind of nice because that has a cart. But that
was going to be my next question. Yep,
but that is the retail price, not my price. So, you know, at some point.
Look, Rebecca, I would love to work with you, but here's the thing. I've got to be able to keep the lights on here in order to continue working. That's my problem. I want to work with you. I do. But if I can't pay the bills and keep the lights on here, then my computer stops working. I can't edit. I can't format. I can't do anything. Yeah. That's the problem. So we got to figure out how to bridge that gap because I would love to work with you.
Yes.
Newfangled shit in Photoshop. You know what? Stop bragging, Anita. I know the newfangled stuff is good. I want to use the new AI stuff they've got, but I'm not paying for another subscription again because I'm broke.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yes.
Because I've been writing off and on consistently. Well, we got to get the writing part to be consistent. 500 words a day. Can you commit to that? That's always been my thing. If you can do 500 words a day or 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
Do that 30 minutes a day. Consistently, you develop a habit, and that 500 words a day adds up so quickly over time.
Yeah.
You would not believe how quickly that 500 words a day adds up. I got another job just so I can afford. I'm not that expensive. I'm really not. I keep most of my rates are reasonable, very reasonable. And you know me, Rebecca. I put everything into my work. I treat every book like it's my own.
Yes.
I pride myself. I don't brag about a lot, but I pride myself on the fact that every book that I've worked on, whether it's my own or a client's, I treat it as if it is my own.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that annoys clients because I tell them things and I'm like, you should do this, you should do that. If I were you, I would do this. And then they're like, well, I don't want to. I'm like,
okay.
It might be in your best interest, but you're the client.
Yep.
And she says, oh, yes, but I have another mouth to feed here. Which one?
How many? Yes.
Ooh, I need more medication.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a fun show.
Yep. And I sent you the stuff recently for Kickstarter information.
Yeah, I scanned it. I didn't read the full book because I was having
it's problems long.
For some reason. But when I did finally get it open, I started scanning through it to see what kind of information was being, you know, explained,
disseminated,
what angle they were taking on it. And mm-hmm. I see Kickstarter as a valid option.
Yeah.
If you have the time to put into it, because that's where I always draw the line. It's the same thing. It's the same. You're making a sale either before or after. So you're still doing a lot of that sales approach, and which are you more comfortable with?
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I'm in a Kickstarter that is in pre-launch right now. So people here.
Medication, Jonesy, medication.
People
which
here.
Which is empty, not, by the way.
There's not many of you.
To refill it.
But this is.
That's the cover I love
edition that's going in the Kickstarter. So people here saw it before anybody else.
That's the cover that when you showed it to me, I was like, I was gonna buy that one. So I'm glad it got used for a good book.
It's Quora. By the way, that's Quora graphic.
Like I said, she does good covers. What can I say?
Yep. So yeah. Oh yes. I have it up on Ingram Spark, but I think I'm going to go with a local printer.
Okay.
In that's a New Hampshire based printer.
Sure.
I got to find out what they say tomorrow because if they can do foil and embossing for the title, yes, it'll be a so pretty, pretty. A pretty special edition. Yep.
See, now, and that works with Kickstarter.
Yes.
Giving them something they can't get anywhere else. I noticed one of the things that they had suggested as a way to tease your Kickstarter is you can get in on the book now, 6 months before it'll be released publicly.
Right. Right. Exactly. This will never go out in the public. For ours, yes, there is on my group and my page. It's the I told you I'm having brain farts because my brain is not working today. It's hot winter nights. Yeah.
Hot Get winter the link nights. And post it in the comments.
Yes. Yeah. It's hot winter nights and it's an advent calendar book set. So 30 books. Cool. 30 books from 30 authors. They're wrapped, so you can do advent calendar.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So that's one of the tiers. The other tier is 15 book blind box. So out of the 30, you get 15 books for a little
Whoever
lower price.
Came up with the blind box. I hate you. Oh, such a brilliant idea. I hate you. Because the whole game, it's basically gambling. You don't know what you're getting, but you're willing to pay for it for the surprise.
Right. And they're all
it's
they're
so
all wrapped, too. So, you know, they're all Christmas wrapped for advent calendars. So
professional hatred. I'm jealous
of like awesome.
The idea and working it before I can think of it. God damn it. All right, I will be right back. I'm going to get some more medication.
Okay. And I'm going to find the link. So yes, it's on Kickstarter and I have no idea why I'm not joining the chat. I'm like lacking in that department. Sorry guys. But yeah, so Wolf Moon is going to be in there in this pretty cover and we're going to see if this can be embossed and foiled. And hopefully I won't have to do something to the cover to get that done. Have any of you done any foil and embossing on your covers? Do you know what the cover things need to be for that? Thank you, Anita. Yeah, it will go live June 10th. Initially, it was June 1st, but we moved it to June 10th to July 10th because July is a big romance month for Kickstarter. It's no extra work. Oh, good. Thank you. And Katie went to go refill her drink. So I'm alone. I don't like to be alone just talking to myself like this. But this is the other hardcover I got too. So from Ingram Spark. I like this better. I have another one from Amazon and I don't know. It just feels different.
What I miss.
Oh, I was showing off the other book I have from Ingram Spark just right here. So the Valkyrie Duet.
God, your covers are so pretty.
Thank you. I wish I had the Elvrin Assassin cover. I don't have a copy of that yet. Because that just came out. And that's the only thing about Ingram. Well, when you're ordering paperbacks or hardcovers, it takes ages. To get here. That is the only actually this one came pretty quick, so maybe it's just the hardcovers that take forever in a day.
I've noticed hardcovers do take a little bit longer, and again with the font weight on the inside. I used to love Garmont as a font for most internal books that are fiction. It's cute, it's slightly scripty, it looks pretty, but it's neat. But if you use that font at, let's say, 11 point in an Ingram Spark book, it comes out very, very light because it doesn't have a lot of weight to it.
Excuse me.
You go with more of a, bless you, like a Palantino or something that's a little bit heftier. That one prints just fine on both.
Yeah, I use
whoever Amazon uses, they seem to have a heavier internal font weight. I don't know.
I use Bookman Old Style, so.
That's another good one. It's an older classic font.
Yep, and it's
a little bit heftier.
Yep.
I've noticed When I format for 5x8, I tend to go with the smaller fonts just so I can get more words per page while it's still being readable.
Yeah.
That one's great if you're doing the 6x9.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Hardcovers, they take forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we'll see what I get from the local printer.
The fact that Ingram is doing this, again, it's a very smart business move on their side.
Yes.
Because
own the client.
We've been looking for a way to be more direct sales and not have to be beholden to the big box stores. And because they already distribute everywhere, being able to print and ship individually, really, it's not that hard for them.
Right. And they take care of all the taxes, just like Lemon Squeezy does. So you're not dealing with all the state taxes and all of that other jazz, because they're already dealing with it anyway. The
only downside is you cannot order multiple books in a session. You have to order one book at a time, which again, that's the cart thing that we had the problem with Lemon Squeezy initially.
Yeah, exactly.
Once
so
there's a cart ability, then we're playing with fire.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yes. So, I mean, same with my website. You have to go into each book to pull up things on either website, the one on Story Origin or my legacy website, which I'm going to keep the legacy website unless Story Origin does the same thing with.
What you've got working, like I said, I went to your website last night as I was going through some things to see how you were doing it.
Yeah.
It works fairly seamlessly.
Yeah.
It looks good. Your website's neat, clean, easy to navigate. And when you're going to the specific area for sales, it works.
Yeah. Hold on. I could order all kinds of different books at once. Same here.
If you're ordering the different books from your Ingram Spark account, that's different than if you're a customer clicking on a book. You can only get one at a time. That is the downside.
Yep.
Yeah. Again, that's because you're doing it from your Ingram account.
Right. Yeah. Because I could order, I ordered a bunch of things and I think I will actually have an extra copy of Season of the Dragon because I didn't think I had it and I think I ordered it.
And how long do you think Ingram Spark's going to take to figure this part out?
I don't know. If people are connecting the Ingram Spark to their Square or to their, what's that other store front, that everybody... Yeah, Shopify and stuff
their
like that.
Fees and stuff are ridiculous. So I told you before I had a client who was going the Shopify route I forget what the other website is. And the fees are ridiculous.
Right.
And it makes it really not a fun option.
Right.
And from what I understand, they have to have money in their own kind of escrow account to pay for the books that are being ordered to be sent through Shopify for all of this stuff to connect.
Oh, yeah.
It's not seamless. It's not a working cohesive system yet. Now, the first business that figures this out and makes it seamless and cohesive, they're going to make money off of this. But to date, they have not all figured out. They're each individually figuring out certain points, but not one company yet has figured it all out.
Unless you can do with something like what I have a cart and do screen scraping and send to each one at the same time and do it all. But that's coding. That would be him. When he's retired, I'll make him do that for me.
Ingram Spark makes you put a specific code per your link.
Yep.
It's an internal code. Yep. But all they have to do is link those codes to the link that they've created for those codes and make a cart.
Yes.
Not that hard, people.
Exactly. So that will be my husband's retirement project.
May you make $1 million off of this or more. Hopefully more.
He's like, I can't sit around and do nothing. And I'm thinking in my head, I have so much for you to do. Not around here. But I'm like,
you were retired. The honeydew list.
I need somebody to do a website. I need somebody to manage my things. I need somebody to factor the return on it. Do math. Do my best. He's not gonna love me at all.
Keep me informed. Like I said, I have to live vicariously.
Yes. he thinks he's gonna go work at the mountain pushing snow around it. No. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's my husband. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And yeah,
But you know, you could always outsource some stuff to me. I need a job. We should make a drinking game out of drink every time I say I need a job.
Yes.
Hold on,
I'd
let
be
me get my drink.
floored now. Well, my husband put up walls the last 2 days, so we'll have a workout room.
That's so cool.
We just have to be able to get somebody to help him carry the treadmill
I'm
downstairs.
not close enough to help, sorry.
I think it took three of them to get it out of Wes's house, Wes and Vicky's house,
Good
and
Lord.
into the truck. So, but they took it apart. So we have all the, a bag of screws for both pieces because it was, we put it in the truck.
A bag of innocuous screws.
Yeah, some bag of innocuous screws. Yeah, but that's what we have.
Oh,
And
that's
I'm
fun.
sure we just sit there and look at her and go, what the hell is this for?
Yep.
Is it for the weight bench or is it for the treadmill?
Hey, Gabriella, I'm
Yeah.
glad that you found that interesting. Definitely look
Yes.
into it. Ingram Spark is making some strides to continue to be
Yes.
valid in the self-publishing arena. They, for a while, were not making themselves valid, especially with all their extra fees and stuff that they were charging.
Right.
They were becoming the option to avoid, but
Right.
lately
They
they have
dropped
made
all
changes.
the sign up fees. I think you still, if you want to change your book after 60 days or within once within more than
Yeah,
one
there's still
60 days,
some fee
there are
after a certain
charges.
point, but
Yeah.
there are some ways to get around the fees, which is good.
Yeah.
And they are offering options that are more attractive to indie authors, which,
Right.
face it, we need at this point.
Right. And they're all the feedback that I've heard since I've gone with them is their timing of getting things to us is a lot longer than maybe Amazon. But I don't think that's the
But they
case for a
also
hard book.
don't send you 15 different envelopes with an
Right. And
individual book.
they don't send you damaged books. I've seen a lot of people getting really, really awful damaged books.
Look, the rule of thumb is if you're ordering for like an event that you're going to, you order a month in advance. As
Yes,
long as you
at
give
least.
yourself that lead time, you have plenty of time to get the books. If there's a problem, to bring it up to them and get replacements, you're fine. But that should, go without saying with any place that you're ordering in bulk from. Give yourself at least a month lead time.
And I think if it's things like hardcovers, you might want to give a little bit more. Six to 8 weeks is the safe zone. If you know you need stuff by that point, because it takes, if you don't do the rush things, and you pay for rush things.
Yes, you do. Look, they're gonna get their money anyway. That's how companies work. But you factor that into your cost of sales. You price your books accordingly so that you make some kind of a profit afterwards. Which is why when you do sales at an in-person event, you can price your books pretty much whatever you want to because it's still going to be cheaper than whatever they're buying on Amazon. Because with Amazon, you got to give the stupid 55% discount or Barnes and Noble or whatever big box store. Whereas when you're buying at wholesale, even with shipping, you're still going to be able to go much lower, still get a return, and offer your customer, your reader, a better price overall. And that's the name of the game, is keeping your readers happy and yourself available to keep the
Exactly.
lights
So, being in the Kickstarter, it's made me start to think. And I pass it on to you because I'm thinking of you as well, because outside of a little bit of the time and maybe making your own advertising things, I don't think you have to spend money until you get the money.
The thing with
Because,
the Kickstarter,
yeah.
and I agree, Kickstarter is a good option for some authors too. The incentives that you offer, that's usually where the problem comes in. What incentives are worth it to the reader that you can offer that aren't also costing you or possibly creating a drain on the money that you're bringing in to fund the project you're trying to create?
In some cases, you know, like I see a lot of people with stickers. You can do stickers on a color printer. Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I don't know what people actually want. Because remember when we started? Let's go back to 2009, 2010.
Yeah. Yeah. Young and foolish.
We were so hopeful. We were so full of life back then.
Yes.
Like, we were crazy about creating swag.
Yeah.
We created all kinds of fun swag back then. But that swag cost money to create.
Right. Right.
And that gets into the available funding you have to, again, fund the project you're trying to bring to life.
Right.
Like, and what is worth it to people that they're willing to look at that as a perk, you know, something they actually want. And that's always where I stumble.
Well, the last one that I actually backed because I wanted the book. It was gorgeous. And you know, I have a problem with gorgeous books and gorgeous art. We already know that.
Gabriella, I'm so glad I didn't throw out my purchasing for culinary book. Sounds like it might come in handy again. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's you know, it opens a door for another way of direct sales for special editions or for older things that you want to get in front of people. And you don't necessarily have to have a lot of perks. You could throw in ebooks through Book Funnel or through Story Origin as tiered things or as some of the sales. You can throw stickers out there. You can throw a short introduction or an alternate ending or something like that that you can create, and it's not a huge money drain. It's just, you know, yeah, character art is big right now too, bookmarks.
Okay, but if you like can't draw, you've got to go to somebody to create the character for you. How much does that cost?
The chip.
And again, I'm playing devil's advocate here. I'm not trying to be a negative. I'm trying to like throw out the questions that maybe our audience would be asking. You know, for
Chibli
what is
art, the one that the Chibli art that I've gone to, it's $25 per thing.
Okay, and that you can turn into stickers or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. And what's the cost of producing the stickers?
Well, if you have a printer, it's the ink and that you got to get the sticker things and then time to cut them out. Or if you want to do there, it goes up from there. So that is, you know, getting the Avery sheets and printing them yourself. Or if you go to another place and get them on the, like the roll stickers or things like that, that's a little bit more. Bookmarks, again, a lot of people are doing digital offerings. So you get a digital printed bookmark that they can print out themselves.
Interesting. Okay.
So some of that's, you know, the character art, same thing, digitally sent out. Okay. Yeah.
And again, like I said, I'm just asking questions here to get the thought process.
Absolutely.
I'm not trying to like put any negatives on it. I'm trying to understand.
Right. And I'm throwing some things that I read in the book, some things that we're doing on ours, you know, because ours we're doing digital content. We're doing the boxes, you know, the 30 box and the 15 box. And those are high priced items too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the, you know, the 30 box is 450 and the 15 is 300, but they're all special edition paperback. Okay.
Now, and how much does it cost to print that special edition with the foil and all the pretty stuff?
I don't know about the foil.
Ah!
I don't know about that. But I priced Ingram and the local one. The Ingram was shipping was the equal to the local one.
Okay.
For the same amount of books. But if Ingram does not do the embossing and
of course not,
foil.
Because they're working in bulk, so they're going to do
right. Right. They might, they might have it for the for if you're doing a hardcover with a wrap.
Okay. What is the thought process on a digital bookmark? Are you happy with that or not? Because that, to me, that seems like almost a little bit of a cop out.
Are you asking me or asking you, Nina?
I'm asking everybody, the people who are watching as well as you, because to me that seems like kind of a cop out. Because yes, you're getting the artwork. Yep. That's a good thing, but you have to print it out. And if you print it out on paper, is it really a bookmark or is it kind of just a slip of paper?
Well, everybody has a lot of people, I should say, a lot of people have the color printers with the photo paper nowadays.
Sure.
You've printed on that.
Right. But you're asking the customer then to do the heavy lifting.
Yep.
And again, devil's advocate. Devil's advocate. I'm not
a lot of people. A lot of people are excited about that.
Okay. Okay. As long as people actually care about it, that's good.
Yeah.
Like I'm not saying anything is bad. Digital because there's no shipping and it's cheaper. Sure. That works too.
From an author's standpoint, absolutely. Okay. You know, and a lot of people like the, you know, background art and to make it wallpaper and things like that, you know.
Sure. Okay.
You know, you see all the people with their art on their phones when they, you know, as background pictures and things like that. So it's a lot of people, I should say a lot of the younger generation. Okay. Like the digital
content. And that's a valid option. Yeah. The younger generation does like these. When I went to Comic-Con years and years ago, I made friends with people who did printing on metal. Mm-hmm. And I printed
metal art is beautiful.
Oh God, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But I made friends with them and I was able to work a deal where I got the price of a bookmark down to I think about 50 cents to print each bookmark. Yeah. And I sold them for between $2 and $5, depending on what was going on. And if they bought a set of books, I would give one for free. You know, I would make it worth their while. And I still have some of those because they didn't move as fast as I would hope that they would move.
Yeah.
So when I ask these questions, I'm like, what do people really want? Because I thought that would be like, oh my God, people would love this. And it didn't not as well as I'd hoped.
Yeah. That's the one thing I've got to send from here for the Kickstarter is I got bookmarks. I got physical bookmarks that I got a while ago. So I have 250 of those right now, and it might be 350. So might be shit out of luck for 100 more. But exactly. Because that's right. When you're out of the United States, the shipping costs.
International shipping is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And shipping US to Canada is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're doing the Kickstarter, the customer is paying for the shipping 90% of the time. So, they like the digital options. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an interesting concept, and it's one I'm thinking of for my Ryan Chronicles series and splitting it into two Kickstarters and having CJ's story and Tom's story. Cause I, you know, after reading those and sobbing, I was editing. I'm like, okay, these need some extra special love.
Yep, I understand how you feel about that.
Oh, Tiffany wants, or Tina wants to get one of those metal bookmarks.
Oh, the metal bookmarks were so gorgeous. I still have a few. They're just the way they catch the light. It's something about the way the print works on the metal. It's almost a 3D effect when it hits the light. It's so beautiful. I love them. Yeah. And I still have a few of them for when I get to go to in-person events, because that's where they shine the best.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, the key in the Kickstarter book that I sent you is to try to make it as cost-effective for you, but also still have the incentives to drive readers to really want it. You know, that's why the special editions and all of these things are just, you know, are flying off the shelves in Kickstarter because they're gorgeous.
And, oh yeah, I've seen them offer and you go through amazing and you go options through
with art and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I did ask what interior art for a couple scenes would be from you, darling. Yeah. And I'm like, okay.
that's where it can cost you, because, you know, digital art from an artist who's actually hand drawing things. I mean, you're paying for their time, and every artist deserves to be paid for their time.
Yes.
Not discounting that at all, but those costs are what you're having to recoup, as well as, you know, make a little bit above so you can keep the lights on.
Yeah.
So you can keep making your art as well.
Yeah.
And the whole ecosystem is where the problem becomes harder for the independent author.
Different
POV versions. That's a lot of work.
Yes, that is
a lot of work to write different POVs for each book. Holy shit.
I mean, I could see writing, you know, an alternate ending, or even a short story, origin story, or something like that.
It's a great character study, though, to go different POVs. Yes. But my God, that's a lot of work.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking from the pragmatic approach of the editing of each version of that POV that you have to write to get it perfect.
Yes.
Holy shit. Sorry, guys.
Getting
artists to do your covers. I mean, it's an expense that becomes worth it, because if they can capture the feel of your book, it's a wonderful thing. But then again, you've got to look at, what are the genre trends? What is the genre expectations for your covers? Are you hitting those targets? When it becomes the business side of it, that's where my author brain turns off. And I'm like, I hate this.
Yes.
I want to just be the artist and do what I do. And then you add all of the business shit to it. And that's where I start to hate the industry.
Yeah.
I love the industry, but I hate the industry at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I'm like, okay, if I have to go to an artist for color insert of pages, I also have to get new covers, because I would love the, you know, new things. So that's another nightmare.
That's the thing, because we want everything to represent the art the way that we wanted everyone to see it.
Yeah.
And the artist drawing it, you know, they need to be compensated for their work, and their work is definitely valuable. And our work as the author is valuable, and the editor that goes into it, and the formatter, that there are so many layers to freaking publishing. It's ridiculous. The business side of it is where I hate the industry. That is what has made me hate the industry as much as I work in the industry. It takes art, and it just makes it such a assembly line.
Yeah. Do I do that?
Sure, it turned into a novella. Yeah, no shit. If you're going every character's POV,
every character's
going to see something from a different perspective. That's why it's their POV. And that's, I mean, it can be beautiful, because you can see how everyone misinterprets things. That's fun if you look at it from all the multi-dimensional angles there. But again, that's a lot of freaking work.
Yeah.
And if you've got to go through all of the editing and all the shit that goes into making it perfect. Ah, sorry. Gabriella understands. Yep. She's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those love-hate relationships. We've been in the industry for so long. We know what goes into it, and we know what needs to go into it, and we love our art, but all of the other parts of it can make us insane.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, if you choose a scene, what scene do you choose? Mm-hmm. I have two in my head for this book, but one of them, I don't know.
What's going to be more interesting to the readers? What's going to be more true to your characters? Those can be two different things.
Right, exactly. And
what the characters are doing, what you want versus what they would actually want, because characters are actually people that live inside your head.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's like, one of them is one of the perilous scenes. You know,
oh, so
it's like
POVs. Oh, God bless you. Yeah. Those are hard to write. Those are so hard to write.
I do those.
I don't do those for a reason.
I mean, Elven Assassin is two point of views.
See, but you're good at that, though. That's why when we worked together, you were good at doing the different stuff, because I focus on the one character and I see the world from their point of view, and you can see what's going on around. We need to work on our book at some point.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
That's been a long time coming.
Because that's sitting out here percolating.
That's why we work together so well. I can narrow down that focus, whereas you can see broadly.
Yep.
I try and look at it from the other character's point of view. I'm like, yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, yep. See, your characters take over.
Yeah, and I'm back to writing third person.
Okay. See, I like third person. That works for me.
It's after writing first person for so long, third person is hard.
Yeah. Not gonna lie. It is.
I mean, third person is hard, but again, it has multiple points of view too. Uh-huh. So it's a fantasy. So I've got to do world building and stuff like that. So it's slow. First
person, you are so narrowed in on what one person sees.
Yep.
Whereas third person limited, mm-hmm. you're still on one character, but you get to pick up some of the details around you. You're not omniscient. You don't see everything, but you pick up on some of the subtle differences.
Yeah.
Whereas first person, you are so drilled down into that one character.
Unless they have ESP and can read minds, which is fun.
That's its own demon, by the way.
I know. I do know that. And then, yeah, that is the Riot Chronicles thing. Mm-hmm. They read minds.
You created such like a vast tapestry with the whole family. Yes. How can you not think of every single one and how they link to each other?
Right.
But that's the beauty of it. You've linked everything so much that when you get somebody interested in that book series, they need to read all of them because they need to see what's going on everywhere within that family.
Which is why I'm thinking a Kickstarter for that.
Oh,
that series.
First person. Oh,
yeah.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
I have.
No,
kind of have.
But again, I haven't written first person in
a long time. Years.
Yeah.
Yep.
But more power to you if you can. I can't. I can't anymore. It doesn't work for me. But again,
going back to the third person is tough. And I thought, well, can I make it first person? And I'm like, no.
But
not in this fantasy.
Limited is very similar
to
first person. It's not quite.
Right.
It's similar, though. It's similar enough that I think you can transition somewhat easily.
But
third person omniscient, I can't even do that. I that drives me crazy.
Yeah. And I kind of have to have, well, there's two main characters, but there's other subplots. And it's like, how do you bring the other subplots up without having another point of view?
But then again, in the third person limited, you still can pick up on subtle details and that links to that other perspective. It doesn't overtly come out and say it, but it gives you the clues to follow to get that other perspective.
Yeah. And it's funny because survival games and my FBI series is all third person.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write first person until I wrote the Death Chronicles with my son.
Flash fiction, I could see doing first person.
Yeah.
But again, I've never been good at flash fiction because I spend too much time
you want more.
And delving into details that it never becomes flash fiction anymore.
Yes.
But I could see doing a flash fiction, I can speak, in first person.
Yes.
So I can see how you work that.
Yeah.
Third person feels too separated from the story. If you're looking at third person limited, you're still following only one character. You can only see what that one character sees, but that one character can pick up subtle differences in what's going on around them.
Right.
And they can question those subtle differences. So while you're not first person per se, you're still giving a first person type perspective while there's some other stuff going on that you can question.
Right.
At least that's the way I look at third person limited. And that's my preferred choice of writing.
Yeah, and it's
and again, there's no right or wrong way to write. You write the way you write, but that is my personal choice.
I used to think I hated writing in first person. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote a prompt.
Series is first person.
Yeah. Then I was forced to, one of the prompts in the writing group was in is to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I did first person present tense.
Oh God, present tense. Oh my
yes,
God.
Yes.
Sorry.
And yeah, it was that was my reaction at first.
It's the present tense, I think, that's the worst of it. First person's still hard, but present tense.
I've done that a couple times now. It's really hard when you're writing a book, writing two books at a time, and one's first person present tense, one's first person.
I still don't understand how you do that. I bow down to your genius that you can write multiple books in different perspectives at the same time. I can't.
Yeah, that messed me up. Because I'd catch myself writing in the wrong tense. I'm like, oh, fuck, this isn't the right book.
As an editor, that would kill me.
Well, it would be like a paragraph here or a paragraph there, and I would catch it the next time I opened it up. I'm like, oh crap, I diverted.
Yeah. Again, Anita, yes, flash fiction, I can see it.
Yep. Yeah. So I've pushed my boundaries on a lot of different things that I didn't think I would like, and I ended up enjoying it.
And yes, as a writing exercise, getting uncomfortable, definitely something to explore to mm-hmm. see what you can do. Mm-hmm. And it does lead to better ways of writing, or it can reinforce the way that you currently feel comfortable writing is the right way for you. There is no right way. There is no wrong way to write.
Yes.
You've got to find what works for you. And sometimes exploring different options gives you the ability to find what does work for you. So there is no shame, no whatever when it comes to how you write a story. And sometimes doing that, going out of your comfort zone, it reinforces it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it is.
And yeah, mixing tenses. Oh my God.
Yes.
And what's funny is, as an editor, there are sometimes when I read a passage and I'm like, oh shit, hold on, they switched.
Yep.
It makes me a bit connected. I'm like, oh fuck, now I gotta fix it.
because when I proofread it before it goes to the editor.
Tina, how do you do that?
I've done that too.
I can't do it. Again, more power to you if you can write in multiple books and multiple tenses. Oh my God, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
it doesn't work for me. But again, there is no right way or wrong way. It is your way. So if you can do it, more power to you.
Yep.
I bow down to your genius because I can't do it. I cannot do it.
Oh, third person. Yep. First person.
No. Damn it, Rebecca. How?
that would end up being a clusterfuck for me.
I'm currently writing modern mystery in third person limited past tense historical fantasy first person, just finished first person present all at the same time, three books. Sorry, Vella.
Yep.
Okay, so is Vella Vellum? What is Vella? Is that a writing software? I need to know. I know what Vellum is, but I don't know what Vella is. Please explain.
She would just explode. Yes.
Shut up, Rebecca. Shut up. I probably would. Shut up.
No, I don't know.
Wait, did I miss one? Oh, I did. I missed one. Hold on. There's another.
Yeah.
Wait. Nope.
Nope. The one.
And then you tell Grammar. I hate Grammarly, by the way. I don't like Grammarly. Pro Writing Aid beats Grammarly, and I will die on that hill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use
Vella. Oh, okay. That's the short story platform. Gotcha.
Yep. Okay.
You know what, Anita? You're right. My head would explode. But you know what? I welcome that at this point. I welcome that. Pseudorite will not check and correct it for you. Pseudorite has all kinds of errors. Thank you very much. It is helpful as a tool, but Pseudorite will not fix everything.
Yeah.
And I now understand. Thank you, Tina.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Started telling her mind she ran away. I did not stop talking to anybody. Look, if I go quiet, that's personal issues. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah.
We all know I have issues at this point.
And I send you texts every now and then.
And I'm almost empty again. I'm going to need to remedicate. What the hell?
And we're almost at time anyway. So
like I said, we didn't want to have an emotional show, so I had to medicate.
Yes. Yes.
It's been a rough six months. Thank you very much. And I need work. So anybody looking for an editor, anybody looking for a ghostwriter, hey, right here.
Yeah. Yep, formatter too. You formatter,
book formatter.
You do
book
beautiful
cover artist,
format.
I typically do nonfiction instead of fantasy. I'm sorry, I just don't have the street cred for
the
fantasy.
Skills,
but
yeah,
nonfiction, yeah. I'm good at.
Yes,
I know where I know where my 6 years.
Yes.
That's how long it feels, dude. You are not joking. You're not joking. Not mean to imply any way that pseudorite is given. Pseudorite has its place. Okay, let's talk about that. We did a show on AI. AI as a tool is a beautiful thing. As a helpful way to get your writing to the next level, it does offer some options. But pseudorite does not replace you as an artist.
Right.
As a writer, you are an artist. You still need to be able to differentiate, change, alter, whatever you need to do to make the copy sound what how you want it.
Mm-hmm.
Pseudorite does provide some insight, some alternate wording. It does a good job at that, but it does not replace you. So using Pseudorite as a tool, I approve. Using Pseudorite to write your novels?
No. I tried, speaking of AI, I tried a prompt in AI or a few of them. Oh my God, either I'm too complex. What? Yay!
Work for me. Woohoo!
Yeah. Right. Either my prompt was too complex or whatever, but what came back was crap. Because I'm like, okay, let's see if I can sort of formulate what I'm thinking of for the scenes. And I'm like,
one
nope.
thing I found with Pseudorite, like I love to write my scenes out and then run it through Pseudorite to see the alternate ways it would give me.
Right.
Ways to write things. And it does provide different metaphors.
Yep.
It does provide maybe some condensing of things where I'm a little too wordy. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to have written already
what
the scene should include before Pseudorite can add its emphasis. And some of the emphasis is good. Some of the emphasis is bullshit.
Yep.
But as a writer, I know the difference. I look at what it suggests and I go, yeah, that's crap. Yeah, that's good.
Exactly.
That's where it is a tool. And I appreciate it as a tool, as a writing assistant. Said again, a writing assistant. It is not there to write stuff for me because the crap that it writes based on prompts is bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm on that hill right now because AI does not understand how to write proper fiction. It
right.
can help enhance it. And
yes.
hit me in the comments with this because that is the hill I'm willing to die on.
Yeah.
As a writer of more than 20 years of writing, I will tell you that it helps to create additional wording, additional metaphors, some similes. It does not create a good scene by itself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and AI for cover art, unless you're really good at prompts, you get shit too.
And Rebecca, yes, you are wordy. Sorry.
Yeah.
I love you. I love you, Rebecca. You know I love you. I've had a little too much medication tonight.
Yep. And we are at the end of the hour.
Yes.
Yes.
It's also not a good editor. Yeah, you're right. It's not a good editor. It does not
no,
understand
not.
The nuance of fiction,
yeah.
but it is a tool. And it is a tool that I think authors can use to help, to enhance your writing. If you read through and you understand what you're doing. Uh-oh, what she said. Uh-oh. You know what? I need work, so I don't fucking care at this point.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, I've had a little too much medication now. But yes.
Yes.
I do understand, even drunk. I understand what needs to go in there and what should be said, what shouldn't be said, what's too wordy, what's not too wordy. Yes.
Yes.
And if you use AI as a tool, I think you can enhance your writing. I think it's a good thing. If you use it to write for you, fuck off.
Yeah.
Because AI cannot replicate good human writing.
Yeah. Pro Writing Aid helped me.
We'll talk when you're soberer. Yes. Hey, tell your husband, by the way, to check his email, because I need him to approve some stuff that I sent him.
Anyhow.
Good night. You too, Gabriella. Thank you for following us. Thank you for hanging out with us.
Yes.
Through our show this week. It has been an interesting Drinks with Authors version of Spilling Ink. We are actually 4 minutes over our typical show. So I apologize to anybody who was on the schedule.
That's okay.
It has actually been a really fun time. I'm very thankful to have been able to hang out this week.
I'm glad you were able to hang out as well. And I was here.
It's been a rough month. So I have actually, I've needed this. This has been very good for me. Thank you. And we will see you again in a couple of weeks or in a week, depending on our schedule.
Next week is good. Next week is good. The week after that, we have to get the
next week will be good. The week after is my daughter's production. Yep. So I may not be as available, but
we'll see you guys back. The next week we have to get the treadmill out of the truck. And we might be in traction.
Okay. All right. We will see you guys next week for another episode of Spilling Ink. Thank you guys for hanging out. We'll see you next time.